Good morning to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll do so for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org, East Albertville being one word. Again, that address, preacher@eastalbertville.org. In four passages, the Apostle Paul writes, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." These four sayings were written to Timothy and Titus, but were for all to accept. And by telling these that he writes to, Paul is warning them to teach to the hearers who were willing to accept and to benefit from what was being taught. So we want to study each of these four sayings, if we have time, that is, and see what good that we can obtain from them. The first one's in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." What we see in this verse is really the sum of the gospel of Christ. You know, in John 1 and verse 14, it said that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's in Philippians 2 that we read, beginning in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We know that Jesus came into the world, as Matthew 9 and verse 13 records, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Luke records Jesus' words in Luke 10 and verse 10, that he came to seek and save that which was lost. All of this, as Paul says, is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all to accept. This truly is good news, and all of us should embrace it. So let us all receive this faithful saying with love and partake of the salvation that's available through Christ's work, what he did here on this earth. A second verse is 1 Timothy 4, verse 8 and 9. "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation." You know, there's actually something more profitable and useful for us than bodily exercise. And that is mentioned in this verse. It's godliness. What is godliness? Well, W.E. Vine defines godliness as, "It denotes that piety which, characterized by a Godward attitude, does that which is well-pleasing unto God." So, the verse here in 1 Timothy 4 is saying that the godly will exercise unto godliness. So this is going to require constant effort. You know, when we slack off of our bodily exercise, what happens? Well, the same is true of godliness. We must exercise godliness, and we must exercise godliness daily. We need to exercise ourselves under godliness because knowing that that is more beneficial than bodily exercise, because bodily exercise only profits for a short time. Godliness is profitable not only for now, this life, but also for that life which is to come. We know that our physical bodies are going to one day die. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5 says, "For the living know that they shall die." Our soul, though, will continue on. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was." That's what our bodies are made of in Genesis 1. "And yet we see that the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So we must all see that there's more to be gained from godliness than's gained from physical exercise. Our godliness can promise benefits, not only in this life that's now, but also in that which is to come. The things that we gain by godliness are things that rely upon God's promises. The promises made to godly people involve our lives right now, but it also involves our future life with God in heaven. It is not the emphasis of the New Testament on the spiritual and the eternal blessings. What else did Jesus mean when he said in Matthew chapter 6, "Lay not up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth and rust nor neither corrupt nor neither thieves do break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then we're told there in that passage of scripture in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, "Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." So truly we see that if we have only a few of the good things here, we shall be greatly blessed in eternity. But we must understand, in exercising godliness, it's not enough to just stop being evil. We must do what's right. And I think this is a false concept that so many people have, that as long as they're not doing the evil things, then they're okay. But friends, yes, that's a part of it. But also the part is that we must do the things that God would have us to do. We must do right. In Isaiah 1, it says in verse 16, "Washed you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil." But then notice what it says. "Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow." So it's more than just stopping doing evil, but it's also replacing our actions of doing evil with the actions of doing what God would have us to do. The other time that this statement is made is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, beginning. "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Notice there in verse 11, it says, if you be dead with him, we shall live with him. See, if we faithfully follow Christ, if we faithfully do his word, we'll have the advantage in the world to come. If we are dead to the world, if we're dead to the sensual pleasures, if we don't yield to the temptations, we'll be able to live with God in a better world and we'll be with him forever. Whatever we have to suffer, whatever we have to sacrifice in this life, it says if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But then on the other hand, if we prove to be unfaithful to the Lord, we are going to be the losers. Verse 12 of what we just read, if we deny him, he also will deny us. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, Jesus said, But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. But do we understand that being dead with Christ comes before living with him? In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So it is that denying self and following Christ is the way that we will live with him in eternity. And then the final time that this statement is made is in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. The duties of a Christian and the duties of all Christians that we have in common are to worship, to study the Bible, to do good to all men, to visit the sick and the widows, to show hospitality, do what we can to teach others the gospel. And all of these things are for our own good, and they also benefit others. But Paul is showing Titus how that he must constantly teach the importance of Christians continuing to do what is their duty to do. Friends, faith alone won't save. Many in denominations believe that it does, and I'm afraid there are many in the Lord's Church who think that it does. In James chapter 2 and verse 21, Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And in verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. See, faith must work. And this faith must work beyond just our initial obedience to the first principles. We're to hear his word, believe it, repent of our sins, to confess with our mouth that Christ is the Son of God, and we're to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sin. That's faith plus obedience. But that doesn't stop our obedience. Our obedience must not stop at that point. We must do exactly what Paul says here in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, and that is we must be careful to maintain good works. So we've seen now those four passages that make that statement that these are faithful sayings. So these are the faithful sayings that are truly profitable to us. Friends, beginning this Sunday, June 17th, there is a gospel meeting beginning at the East Albertville Church of Christ. Tim Sutton will be coming to do the speaking for us in that series of meetings. We'll meet Sunday morning at 9:30. We'll meet Sunday evening at 5. And for the duration of Monday through Friday, as the meeting will go from June 17th to June the 22nd, he will be speaking nightly at 7 p.m. Friends, we urge you to come. Bring your Bibles. We're not going to be taking up a collection. We'll only ask you to come and to observe the things that are being said and done and compare everything that's said and done by what you read in the Bible. So come and realize that we encourage you to come. You're cordially invited, and certainly you would be our honored guest if you were to come and visit the services of this gospel meeting, June 17th through the 22nd, weeknights at 7 p.m. We see our time is gone. We appreciate your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.